Welcome to this weekend's Mentor Moment. Every weekend, I bring you a snippet of our most impactful and important episodes. This weekend, your mentor is Stephen Kinsella. This was one of our most impactful and most downloaded episodes ever. So this is a must listen. We talk about how he forecasted the next economic downturn, how it would hit, what the signs were, and how businesses and individuals can prepare for the next one. Here is your mentor, Stephen.
I had studied as part of my PhD the work of a guy called Hyman Minsky. Minsky has a brilliant theory called the financial instability hypothesis. But what it really means is credit creates its own reversal, right? So if you're an SME owner or you're an entrepreneur listening to this, the way to think about it is there's been a shock in the past. There's been some crisis in the past, but it's like quite far away and people have sort of forgotten about it. And because, you know, nothing is ever learned for long, right? People kind of just relax and then the economy starts improving and people start taking out loans and things start going well. And then their loans get paid back. So the bankers are like, yo, it's time to lend money.
Turn the hose on.
Get that money going. So then they're lending more money. The money's coming back. Prices are rising. You know, little Johnny, who was a builder, is now a property developer and he's a genius because he sold all these houses. Happy days. And it's all working well. And then credit, 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 sale, sale, sale. The economy's going up, going up. Eventually, at a certain point, this moment of euphoria hits where everybody is fantastic. And in Ireland, this happened very clearly in around a program, and it was called Things to Do with Your SSIA, right? So this was a savings program that was the right idea brought in too late, and was get a boob job, you know, buy a designer fridge, you know, all this kind of like crazy consumption things, right? It was fantastic. And the guy who presented it was this kind of outlandish court character, so it was very interesting. Anyway, we reach this moment of euphoria where nothing can go wrong. And then, of course, this is exactly the moment where something does go wrong. People are borrowing money, but they can't service the debts. They can't even service the interest on their debts. That's what's known as a Ponzi condition. Many of your listeners will have heard the word Ponzi before. Mm. A Ponzi scheme is where you keep lending out more and more and more, and you can just barely cover the money coming in the door. And then the minute you can't cover it, the whole thing collapses. And that's exactly what happens. The Ponzi moment, the euphoria moment, almost the same one. And then everything collapses back down. So euphoria turns to crisis and fear. People start selling, but because there's no credit anymore, people can't get the money to sell. And because they can't get the money to sell anymore, prices collapse. The economy enters a deflation. And as the economy enters a deflation, it needs to be bailed out. So people's balance sheets, the difference between their assets and their liabilities, totally, totally mismanaged, totally mismatched. Nobody knows what's going on. Into that breach can only step two things, the big state or the big bank. Central bank comes in, prints loads of money, washes away the bad debts of the banks. Everything keeps going, or the state steps in and simply says, we got this, guarantee deposits, work away. So this was Minsky's theory. And then, of course, things settle back down. Everyone gets bollocked. You know, this will never happen again. New laws, blah, blah, blah. Things settle down. Everyone forgets. Off it starts again. If you're an Irish listener, the economy is roaring. Things are flying along. We have never had more people in work. It's 2.7 million people in employment here. That's incredible to think about. We have never had more people who want to come here. So inward migration, particularly of skilled workers, is really high. We have never spent more money. And we have never had more money in the bank. There's almost 160 billion in the bank. You have to realize things are going quite well. And it's always in this moment, to go back to Minsky, it's always in this moment where everything's going well, price of everything's rising, everyone's really happy. This is exactly where the seeds of the next crisis are sown.
I feel like we should be overlaying some ominous music. We'll put it in the edit. This is where the turn happens. So yeah. Are we heading to a turn?
Yeah, we are. And the turn...
Don't sugarcoat it.
The turn is coming in two places. So the first is, this is the other thing about... the other thing about economic history is that you see the same patterns all the time, but each time it appears slightly differently. So the crisis last time came in the valuation of very basic assets. Essentially, we sold bits of the country to each other using money we borrowed from Germany and France, right? And that was like not great, but it was great at the time. Okay. And it left a lot of people with very damaged balance sheets. The value of their assets were way lower than the value of their liabilities. Some people had to crawl out of negative equity. It was a real mess. And most people, by and large, are out of that now. Because this is the other thing. The big thing in the economies is they do recover. They come back up. And so, you know, we have seen this again. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. The last crisis came from overvalued assets. The next crisis is almost certainly not going to come from there, because the household sector has not been anywhere as indebted as it was then. In fact, it's going out of debt. People want debt. They want to be able to access debt for housing, but they can't get it. So it's very likely that the next crisis is going to come from some international source. If you had to pick one, the most obvious would be the election of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump comes in a second term, you know, and he says, I am simply stopping multinational investment in Ireland. Just stopping it. Stopping all the tax treatments. I'm stopping how it happens. That causes a shock. That would make austerity look like an episode of the Care Bears. Like, if you just think about Apple, right? Apple is the largest taxpayer in the state. Yeah. 6,000 employees in Cork. If Apple were to leave, you know, Apple, Microsoft, and Pfizer probably pay something like 60% of all corporation taxes in Ireland.
Wow.
That's a huge amount of money. The way to think about this is, if the Irish government was a business, 27% of our sales come from multinationals. So to lose the top three biggest, most concentrated players basically wipes us out.
Could that happen?
Absolutely. It could. I mean, it's happened before. It happened in Limerick in 2009 when Dell left.
Yeah.
So Dell left. They left. They stopped manufacturing. They didn't leave. They're still here. But they stopped their manufacturing of laptops here. And they let 1,900 people go. And there were about 4,000 jobs in total lost in Limerick in that region. If you look in Limerick over the last, say, 40 years, you have Ferenca, you have Krupps, you have Wang, you have Dell. It's the same pattern. In fact, you can go back to the 16th century here and you can find a tallow maker, who's the biggest tallow maker in Ireland for candles and stuff. And they left and devastated the local economy as well. It's simply a pattern. It repeats over and over and over again. And it's happening in China right now as companies are moving the production from China to India and from China to Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. It's simply a part of the global reinvestment process. It's also something you very often see it's caricatured now post-COVID as friend-shoring. So the idea is that, oh, well, you couldn't quite trust China. So what you'll do is you'll locate the shoe manufacturing facility, say, in Mexico, right? But what you tend to ignore is the fact that the shoe manufacturer is actually owned by a Chinese company, even if it is
same
in Mexico.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting change. And very often, Irish economists are always forced to study global trends. And because we have to, because we're just a cork bobbing on the water. You know, at the end of the day, we don't get to choose where we go. We choose how we react to changes.
If you enjoyed that mentor episode with Stephen, go back and listen to episode 363. It is well worth your time. I'll see you back here in a couple of days. Also, if you're not on my email newsletter, go to mrgaryfox.com and join it. Every single weekend, I send out a free email newsletter to over 2,000 founders and business leaders. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.